Hello, food enthusiasts. This is Catherine Spires, and I was wondering, have you ever wanted to ask a restaurant critic what their job is like? Well, I'm interviewing Soleil Ho, the new San Francisco Chronicle restaurant critic, for Smartmouth, and I'd love to hear your questions. She'd probably love to hear them, too. Please call in with anything that you want to know of a professional food nerd. The phone number is 209-566-2253. That's 209-566-2253. You can call in and leave a voicemail, and I will relay the questions to her when we record. So this week's episode is a recording of a live show I did a couple weeks ago in Portland, Oregon, as part of the Listen Up Podcast Festival, which was a ton of fun. My show was at a bar called Double Barrel, and they were nice enough to give everyone in the audience tater tots. Very cool of them. And the tater tots were good. So you should check Double Barrel out next time you are in Portland. Weirdly, for someone raised in Seattle, I'd never been to Portland, but I think it was worth the wait. I had the best brunch of my life at Cocaine. That's not cocaine. That was a funny joke my sister would make, but it's spelled C-O-Q-U-I-N-E. Cocaine. And I had a great time at a tiki bar called Hale Pele. You can see some pictures from the trip on Instagram at Smartmouth Podcast. And there's also a bar called There Be Monsters, which became sort of like the last call bar for all the podcasters. And none of us behaved ourselves, so I'm really sorry. And also, thank you, There Be Monsters. There is a trivia segment in this episode, and if you want to play along, the answers are announced at the end, and it had prizes for the live audience. So I want to thank the restaurants Hey Love, St. Jack, Beast, and Normandy, and the food company Wild Friends for supplying these very excellent prizes. And also millions of thanks to Portland local Jordan Chesbro, who works with Shipwreck PDX for facilitating all those prizes. My guest in this show is Mohamed El-Sheikhi. He's a Portland comic who was born in Libya, and he has had a lot more life experiences than most of us will ever have, and he has a really good and dark sense of humor about it, and you can follow his adventures on Twitter at twitter.com/Mohamed El-Sheikhi. That is spelled M-O-H-A-N-A-D-E-L-S-H. I-E-K-Y, so Mohamed El-Sheikhi. And he's also on Instagram at Mohamed.El-Sheikhi. All right, Smart Mouth Showtime. Thank you for coming out. It's such a cozy little room in here. I really appreciate that. We want to kick it off with a short trivia round to get you guys in like a food history frame of mind. Did everyone get who wants a scorecard? Did everyone get one? All right. Are you guys ready? Yeah. And be sure to put like a team name or your own name or whatever at the top so that if you do win, we can identify you. All right. Question number one. Which writer called Chicago hog butcher for the world?
Yeah, that's an easy one. Yeah. I know exactly who it is.
All right, question number two.
Okay, the old Baskin-Robbins logo had two colors, brown and pink. What two flavors did those colors represent?
Brown and pink from Baskin-Robbins. All right, question number three. Ceviche is so very associated with one country in particular that the government has created a holiday celebrating it. Which country is it? Which country is mad about ceviche?
Okay, the other question is, what is the main ingredient in baba pearls?
Boba pearls.
Boba pearls, yeah.
What's the main ingredient in the actual little pearls in a boba drink? Okay, I had to throw in an LA one because that's where I'm from. Which legendary Los Angeles restaurant invented the Cobb salad?
Okay, and in what city was the Cuban sandwich invented? I guess it's not a Cuban city, but yeah.
Giving out hints, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Where was the first Pizza Hut? Was it in Albany, New York, Wichita, Kansas, Los Angeles, California, or Grand Prairie, Texas? It's Pizza Hut. And your options are Albany, New York, Wichita, Kansas, Los Angeles, California, or Grand Prairie, Texas.
Okay, and the last question is Beef Kitfo, is that how it was pronounced?
Beef Kitfo, yeah. Beef Kitfo.
Okay, Beef Kitfo is a raw dish from what country?
Cool, I only wrote eight.
Yeah, there are eight questions. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's eight questions.
The ninth question, you have to guess yourself
an
answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, Double Barrel has generously provided us with tater tots. Hope you guys are hungry. Y'all are getting tots. And if you want more, you can order more. Just raise your hand at some point and say, I need more tots, which we will all understand. Yeah, exactly. And the reason we're serving tater tots is because that is the subject of today's conversation.
Yeah.
Yay, I'm glad you're excited. You're from Idaho.
Yeah.
Well, there's some Idaho-Oregon tater tot rivalry, just so you know. All right, Mohaned, did you know that the word batata is a Carib word, as in the native people of the Caribbean?
I had no idea.
It refers to sweet potatoes specifically, but the word started traveling around before non-sweet potatoes did, so we all adopted the word batata.
I know that's what they call it in Arabic, too.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's what I call it.
Okay, that's a good thing. And you're from Libya.
Yes.
And there's a potato dish there called Mbatan batata?
Mbatan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you want to describe them for people?
Oh, it's very hard to describe given that I don't cook.
Got it.
But I just eat it.
Because non-sweet potatoes are native to Peru. But the Europeans came over around 1500, and they took them and ran with them.
Classic.
Which is classic Europeans.
Yeah.
They were actually planted in Spain before they were in Ireland. How about that?
Oh.
But the Irish really got into them. They came to Libya. Okay, so let's describe this dish. Here's what you do. You take as big as possible potato. You cut it into very thick slices, and then you cut half slices down the middle of them, and then you stuff them with meats and herbs and spices, and then you deep fry them. I think that's kind of more interesting than our tater tots. There's more to them.
I don't want to hate on tater tots, but yes, absolutely. They taste really good, and they're the best thing ever. You should try them somewhere. I don't know where, because I've been trying to find a place that makes them for the longest time ever.
And nowhere in Portland makes them?
Yeah. I don't know. Make friends with Libyans who can cook, who are not me. Who can make those?
So potatoes weren't really commercially grown in the United States until the late 1800s, when Luther Burbank, who was always futzing around in gardens and inventing new hybrids, he came up with the russet potato, which is most of what we eat. But they're really diseasey. They get a lot of diseases.
Oh.
So all the companies like McDonald's, it's the huge fast food companies that do the most with potato science. Because they got to get those French fries stable.
So you're telling me that the French fries from McDonald's don't have any diseases in them?
Those do not have diseases.
Wow. So this is like the non-disease version. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And aren't we so glad of that?
I'm so glad. Yeah, absolutely. Because I eat there all the time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Disease-free and at McDonald's.
Yep.
Okay, so these russet hybrids that we eat, they are also used to make potato gems, spud puppies, and tater tots, which are all different terms for the same item. Tater tot is actually the trademark term, so even though it's the term we all use, we're not legally allowed to. It means potato toddler.
Potato toddler?
Yeah, tater tot.
Oh, I've never thought about it that way at all. And now it just feels creepy.
Right? Yeah. Everyone eat up.
Yeah.
So in 1934, there were these two brothers, and their names were Nephi and Golden Grigg. And they began growing sweet corn in eastern Oregon, and they had a company called Grigg Brothers, and they became the largest distributor of sweet corn in the United States.
Why am I not surprised that someone named Greg is the one who brought potatoes?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a very like Northern European white. Yeah. But they did have interesting first names. Golden.
Golden.
Uh-huh. And Nephi.
Okay, Nephi. I'm like, okay, this sounds European, but like Golden, like why?
Americans sometimes get really interesting about their names.
Okay, yeah.
And they're
and for some reason, everyone finds my name interesting when someone is like walking out there with the name Golden. Like, you know, just normal.
There's a lot of panic about pronouncing Mohanad's name correctly.
Yeah, yeah. We had to discuss that maybe 50 times before the show starts with everyone at the bar. Even people who didn't work here were very concerned how to pronounce my name. And I'm like, I don't know.
You don't know? You've forgotten at this point?
Yeah, at this point, honestly, I mispronounce my name too. Yeah.
I actually do too. So my last name is Spires. I had to pause. I forgot. And so that's a Scottish name, and there are Spears in Germany. And sometimes I talk about the fact that I'm either Scottish or German because both are true. I got a fan letter from Germany telling me that I was mispronouncing my last name. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, of course they have to tell you. I'm like, oh, excuse me, or whatever they say, how they say it in German.
Yeah. Because they would be, although it's kind of funny because in a way I was like, I have fans in Germany.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the bright side of it.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh, more tots.
Yeah.
Awesome. Who needs them? Who need? Oh, way in the back.
Who wants some toddlers? Yeah.
Thank you for all the tots. Where were we? I got distracted by tots, which I think is understandable. Okay, so these Grigg brothers in 1949, they got a frozen food plant in Ontario, Oregon. Does anyone know, anyone familiar with Ontario? A couple of people. So that's right on the border with Idaho. And they decided to dedicate this whole plant to potatoes and the processing of potatoes. And they renamed it the Oregon Frozen Foods Company. And then they changed the name again. Guess what they changed it to? Oregon. Yeah, you all get it.
Oh.
Are you familiar with Orida products?
What's that?
Are you familiar with Orida products?
Nope, I have no idea. But everyone seems like they are. Yeah.
So when you're at the grocery store, you go to the frozen food section.
Okay.
Where they say vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of stuff is Orida.
Oh, okay.
You got your frozen French fries, frozen corn, frozen green vegetables, and the tater tots.
Oh, I'm gonna go today and be like, oh, I know what that is, and then just leave without buying anything.
That'll be fun for everyone.
Yeah, just to learn, you know. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot when I was saying that I have fans in Germany. There's someone who came all the way from France today who's here. Say hi. I'm putting you on the spot. Where did he go? Yay.
Look at that.
Welcome.
Wow. And I thought that coming from Northwest Portland was a ride. A long ride.
Oh, my goodness. What is your favorite food in Portland?
Oh, a favorite food? I don't have a favorite food per se. I have a favorite meal, which is brunch.
Brunch.
Yeah, because there's a lot of great brunch spots here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have like a specific favorite food, though.
So you don't have like a go-to order at brunch? It's just the idea of it all?
Yeah, just the idea of just being in brunch. I'm like, I have the day off. Yeah.
What are your favorite brunch spots around town? I'm sure people want to know.
I like Mother's a lot. Tin Shed is also really good.
Tin Shed?
Yeah, that's a good one. And there is also Miss Delta on Mississippi. That's really good. Yeah, these are like the three main places I go to. And they're like Stepping Stone as well in Northwest Portland. Yeah, okay. I'm always there.
Who in here has brunch recommendations for Portland? Are there any other good spots? Yes. Yeah. Eastburn?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And what about you? Bisaw's? Okay. What do you
get
there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty good.
You know that? Okay.
Yeah.
What's the best thing to order there? Champagne.
Oh, champagne.
Okay.
For brunch. Yeah. I think they have like something called like dream cakes or something that's like so good.
What are they?
It's just like pancakes, but just like made like in a way that just like I've never had. Yeah. Yeah, they're very fluffy and they have like, I don't know what stuff they put in them. They just taste really good.
They sound sugary and like you'll have a huge drop afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But that's what people like brunch for, right? So the Or Ida company, they initially limited themselves to frozen corn and French fries. And then in 1953, they developed tater tots. And tater tots are their most well-known product. That's the main Or Ida thing. Even though they were originally cattle feed.
So they went from cattle feed to toddlers.
Yeah. Yeah. You're being weird all over the place.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. Or Ida, the way that they make their French fries is they cut the potatoes into rectangles. Excuse me, I'm getting so excited about French fries. And then they slice the rectangles down. So the outer edges with the peels and everything, those would just like fall to the floor and they would be extra. They would sell them to cattle farmers just to feed the cows and they wouldn't make a profit off of selling these scraps back. So the owner, Nephi, he was like, we got to make some money off of this. He was very money driven.
Oh, yeah.
Truly an American...
Classic Nephi.
Yeah, classic Nephi. He's always doing that. So he basically decided to shred them up even more, spice them, and then just push them through an extruder. Because the extruder is every processed food company's favorite tool.
Yeah.
Just extruding left and right. And then slicing.
I mean, I'm learning so much here. Yeah, because I'm like, oh, extruder, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's where you push things through into a specific shape.
Yeah, I feel like I know what that is. Like, I feel like I've probably seen it on TV or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such a disgusting term, extruding.
Extruding, yeah. Extruding profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's how so many of our favorite foods are made. Extrusion.
Yeah, that's why I never ask where my food is coming from. I just eat it.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Okay, so Nephi was a Mormon, but I'm going to say he did most of his real evangelizing about potatoes, less about God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, potato, the food of God, you know?
I'm sure. Well,
that's what they eat in heaven.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what he thought. He wrote a number of pamphlets in his lifetime calling potatoes the most healthful food on the planet. That was his main thing. The potassium and the vitamin K. Totally healthful. And he also said that they were worth more than gold.
Is that like something he's saying about his brother? Golden?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he's like, you're worthless.
He was just negging his brother.
Yeah. I don't think, Nephi is a good business person, but I don't think he knows how much gold costs. Yeah, never seen gold before. I was like, oh, potato, that's yellow. Mm, gold. No, Nephi, no.
It's not that easy.
Yeah.
So he brought his tater tots to a food show in Miami, of all places, and they went wild. Everyone went nuts for him. There was never a time in American history where tater tots were not popular. As soon as they were invented, they were popular.
I like that he took them to Miami specifically. Like, why Miami? He was like, you know who's going to like this? People from Florida. Yeah. Going to love this shit. If I tell them it's more expensive than gold, he'd be like, yeah, absolutely.
He's going to trick them down in Florida. Easily trickable people.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone from Florida here? No? Yeah. I figured.
No one came from Florida. Saying that they're the healthiest food on the planet, I just want to run down the ingredient list in tater tots for everybody. The first ingredient is potatoes, to be fair. Then any kind of vegetable oil. They're not picky. Soybean, cottonseed, canola, whatever. And then salt. That makes sense. And then yellow corn flour. And then onions, another real thing. And then dextrose. And then disodium dihydrogen pyrophosphate. Does anyone know what that is? It has the word pyro in it, which is kind of exciting.
That sounds like something they like make a nuclear bomb with.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
And then they round it out with natural flavoring, which is one of those food terms that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But why is that pyro or whatever?
What is it?
Yeah.
I genuinely don't know because I don't know enough about
someone
knows.
Know.
Yeah.
It prevents potatoes from browning.
It prevents potatoes from browning.
Oh.
Thank you for that.
So, because they have to look like they're gold.
Well, yeah. So they're brown on the outside from being cooked in the factory. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just for the inside to keep that creamy color. We have a dog in the audience.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
His name is Frito Pie, I think, which is very on topic. Oh, I wonder if he's allowed to have Todd's. He'll probably get too many. So knowing what the ingredients are in tater tots, it's important to know that the government wants us all to think that tater tots are as healthy as broccoli.
As healthy as broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I believe it. When was the last time the government lied to anyone?
It's never happened.
Yeah, so I believe that. Yeah, tater tots as healthy as broccoli. Absolutely, given the fact that I don't eat broccoli, so I'll believe it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll have that.
Just tater tots instead. So here's why we can say that they think it's as healthy as broccoli. Every time the USDA tries to put a limit on potatoes in school lunches, the USDA actually seems like they're trying to do good work, but they keep getting bested by the National Potato Council. That's an extremely powerful lobbying group in Washington, D.C.
The National Potato Council?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge of that? That's not like what Mr. Potato from Toy Story.
It's funny you should mention that because the guy who runs it right now always tells people that he was born the same year as Mr. Potato Head.
Oh my
That's like
God.
His line.
So what year was Mr. Potato Head was born?
That's 1953.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it used to be? It was just the appendages, and you had to supply your own potato. They stopped doing that.
That's amazing. I'm really. This is like information I'm like really happy to learn today.
Oh, good.
That there's so like fun. A whole committee of like whatever potato lovers who are just like, now we have a case here. Yeah, we don't care about anything else that's happening in this country but potatoes though. Yeah.
It's their main thing. It's their obsession in life. And they get really mean too. We'll get to that. So basically the USD tries to do this work of making lunches healthy. The National Potato Council gets to work on Congress, and Congress always sides with the council. For instance, a number of years ago, about 7 years ago, the USDA tried to limit the number of French fries and other starchy vegetables to 2 servings a week in the lunches and saying none of them in the school breakfasts. That's what they wanted. And then the National Potato Council came in and said, well, golly, but potatoes are such a good source of fiber and potassium. Why would you want to do this? They use this sort of gee whiz, we're just country folk language about it. For instance, one of their statements was, at a time when all Americans, especially kids, are not eating enough vegetables, we should be encouraging more choices, not less. Isn't that gross?
Classic. I'm surprised they didn't bring the founding fathers to this somehow.
I know. They could have easily.
Their favorite. You know, that's what they had when they wrote the Constitution. So
this country was founded on potatoes.
Exactly.
You won't take them away from us.
Yeah.
Also, the grammar in that is wrong. It's not less, it's fewer. So
maybe if they ate more healthier food, they would be able to come up with better words.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
They'd become better writers.
Yeah.
I think so. Another lobbyist said that in trying to convince people to still allow potatoes in school lunches, they pulled this one. This policy impacts potato growers, but it's not a financial issue for us. The problem is the government saying one class of vegetables is less important than the other. Isn't that gnarly? They're like trying to pull racism on vegetables.
That's amazing. I feel for the potatoes. Yeah.
Do you feel that they're
a lower
class?
Them. I have to deal with that every day in my life too. Yeah. Wow.
You're just like a potato.
I am definitely not a toddler though, but yeah, a grown ass potato. That's what I am.
So you understand their plight.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Now they got me.
How many of you went to public school and ate the school lunches in public school? Show of hands. How many of you had tater tots sometimes in those lunches? How many of you ever had baked potatoes in those lunches? One hand, kind of, out of almost everybody in the room raising their hands. This is the language that they use, saying, the proposed rule would prevent schools from serving an ear of fresh corn one day and a baked potato the other day of the same week, an utterly absurd result. So they're pretending that they serve baked potatoes in school lunches.
But they don't.
They don't.
So why would they say that, though?
To confuse our tiny brains.
Oh.
Which usually works.
Classic potato heads.
Yeah, exactly. Did you eat school lunches growing up?
Nope.
Food from home.
Yeah, food from home. Yeah, I mean, also, like, we didn't stay that. The day was not as long.
What was your school hours?
It was, like, 8 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went home for lunch.
Yeah, so I went home for lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are school lunches a part of the culture in Libya at all?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you just bring your own food. I mean, yeah, there's, like, a recess and everything where you eat food, but you just bring it from home or just... You're not eating food.
Go hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
One or the other.
Yeah, so no baked potato or tater tots.
So does the idea of like school lunches culturally resonate with you at all? Like, have you seen it enough in pop culture?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's there. Like, I know all about it and stuff. Watch American Vandal. but yeah, I mean, it does make sense, especially like over like how long the day is and everything, but. I feel like if you implement that like in other places, like by 1 p.m., like everyone is just at home, eating at home, why would they eat at school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just like saves money, I guess, or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. So it's infiltrated pop culture.
Yeah.
Enough. So I mentioned earlier that the Potato Council gets really mean to people.
Yeah.
Most of their ire is saved for, you'll never believe it, the sweet potato industry. They're different industries and different lobbying groups. We get really intense.
This is I don't know if someone else told me this, I'd be like, oh yeah, there's potato committees everywhere. I'd be like, there's no way.
But you believe me?
No, I believe you. Yeah, I mean, you have a podcast. Yeah.
The surest sign
of
authority.
Course, yeah. Anything that is said on a podcast, I immediately believe. That's where I get all of my information.
Oh, you poor dear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm always confused about everything.
Fair enough. Well, I am glad you believe me, even though we've only met once before.
Yeah.
And ate breakfast. And we ate goat and lamb for breakfast, too.
Yeah, we ate young goat. That's what I had. Yeah, which sounds less of a name of a meal and more of a name of a rapper.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So the head of the head of the Potato Council, when he's being mean to sweet potatoes, he'll say things like, oh, I understand that sweet potatoes are trendy now, but white potatoes have all of the same ingredients except for beta carotene, which we get so much of, we're all turning orange. Has this ever been a concern in our society that we have too much beta carotene?
I don't know about you guys. I worry about that every day. Yeah. That's my main concern. Yeah.
And then he also said that we shouldn't be worrying about sweet potatoes or trying to get people to eat them because it is a, quote, Bubba-driven industry that only exists in the South. He literally said, like, only Bubbas eat sweet potatoes.
If I knew what Bubbas meant, I would be more offended right now.
It's kind of like saying redneck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what does the word Bubba come from then? Like, what is it?
Why do we say that? I don't know. It just kind of seems like a kind of Southern accent-y type of thing to say.
Yeah.
Like a good old boy, Bubba.
Okay. Well, yeah, when you put it that way, yeah. I feel like it's like offensive somehow.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and use it like twice. This week.
Do it.
Yeah, and be like, hey, Bubba, and see what happens.
Definitely live stream it so we can all see what happens.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, please follow me on Instagram. I'll do that.
That'll be good. So anyway, the lobbyists won this fight about reducing starchy vegetables in school lunches. The law now is that the USDA is prohibited from setting any maximum limits on the serving in vegetables in school meal programs. So they did that thing again, that like reverse logic where they said, well, don't tell us that we can't serve vegetables to the kids and potatoes are vegetables. So they tricked Congress into saying like, yeah, we have to give kids vegetables. I mean, and this is a country that considers ketchup a vegetable for the purposes of school lunches.
Can't believe they managed to trick Congress. That's such a hard thing to do. Yeah.
Oh. Frito Pie is a Republican. He doesn't like that. So Pacific Northwesterners really eat so many potatoes, and they're also looking at pictures of potatoes the most. According to Google, it's this area of the world that Googles potatoes and potato products most of anyone.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, this is a room full of people that are listening to a podcast about potatoes. So, yeah.
You guys get it.
Facts.
So, and in Portland in particular, y'all go crazy for tater tots, and that has to do with the bar regulations specific to this area that they go on forever and ever. Here's the thing. If a bar serves spirits, all, let's see, the business at regular meal periods must serve at least 5 different substantial food items. That's the term for it.
Yeah.
A meal is a substantial food item offered with at least one side dish or a substantial food item with 2 or more side dishes that you can order separately. Can you imagine trying to write a menu with all of this in mind?
I know. It is weird. And like, I mean, bar food is just like, some of it is like really good and some of it like, oh yeah, they just wanted to follow these instructions and that's it.
Yeah.
They're not trying to sell it to you.
They don't want you to actually have
it. Yeah, they're like, we don't care. Like, we really don't. Please don't ask for food. We just have to put it out there.
Yeah. They do have some definitions of these things, like substantial food items. That could be fish. That could be pizza, a dinner salad, or sausages.
Oh.
Those count as substantial food items. Appetizers and desserts are not substantial food items. So don't try and get away with that.
Well, they are to me.
I know. Yeah. It seems like that's really an issue of perception.
Yeah, dessert is very substantial. Yeah. Why not?
Crackers are also not substantial food items. I think that goes without saying, right? And side dishes are salad, rice, french fries, and bread. These are the rules that we're working with.
Yeah, bread sounds good to me.
But it is true that Portland has, like, more than other cities, the bar food is good.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's because I've definitely, like, because I eat bar food here and then I go to somewhere else and I'm like, and I get bar food. I'm like, oh, okay, this is trash. This is so bad because I'm just like implementing the same standards we have here and it's not good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky on that front.
Yeah.
And you guys really zhuzh up your tater tots as well. Are any of you familiar with the term tachos?
Yeah.
Okay. Very familiar and very in support of this term.
I have no idea.
So imagine nachos.
Okay.
Where you have the chips and you put whatever on top of them. Well, instead of chips, have tater tots. So it's like loaded tater tots with sour cream or bacon bits, I think is a popular option. Apparently, this idea was invented in Portland. I don't know that one person can actually take credit for what is essentially stoner food. Like, I think a lot of people... What?
There is one person.
Okay.
His name's Jim Parker.
Where does he work?
Well, he worked at a bar. He actually just passed away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's a good legacy to live, though.
Yeah.
Tachos. Yeah.
He was like an early publican, and then he like introduced it to...
Like what years?
Early 90s, I believe.
Okay. So the internet says that Oaks Bottom Public House. That was the place. Okay, whew, we're in agreement. Thank God. That's always nice. So what are some, because I am personally invested in this topic, I want to hear from locals, what bars around here serve the best bar food? Yes.
Crush.
Okay.
Okay.
Do they have tachos?
They have Idaho nachos, which are steak fries with regular tacho stuff on top.
Idaho nachos. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They took all the Mexican elements out of it.
Yeah, Idaho nachos.
That name actually makes me really nervous.
Yeah, because Mexico haven't suffered enough.
Right, exactly.
To be fair, the only thing that it really shares, the cheese and the sour cream, everything else is...
Yeah, that's okay. Very Idaho as well, to just take the dairy products. Everything else. No cilantro, thank you. Okay, any other local bars with good food? Anyone?
Bar?
Yeah.
Okay, what do they have?
They have like the best burgers. Awesome.
Burgers.
Like griddle burgers.
Okay, that sounds really good. This bar, Double Barrel, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we have our winners for the trivia. All right. Just come up and see me afterwards, and I'll give you your prize packages. Let's see. This is so funny. On the Baskin Robin questions, the pink and the brown, what colors did they all represent? You guys, you went for the obvious answer that was incorrect. Brown was chocolate, truly. But you all guessed that the pink was strawberry? That's incorrect. Does anyone know the correct answer? Yeah. Nope, not peppermint either. It's cherry. That was the pink flavor in ice cream in like the 50s was cherry, not strawberry.
Did anyone guess that?
Apparently no one guessed that. Okay. Fourth place, Matt and Holly.
Yeah. Woo!
One of the hard questions was number 8. Beef kipfo is a raw dish from one country. Our third place winner was one of the few who got it correctly, and that would be Vanessa. Yay!
What was the answer to that?
Ethiopia?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was actually the topic of the first ever episode of this podcast with Marcus Samuelson, who's a pretty famous chef. So go me, I guess. The second place winner got number 7 right. Where was the first Pizza Hut? And the answer to that is Wichita, Kansas. Wichita is low-key the home of a lot of different fast food places. And that is Team Welch. Yay! And the first place winner got number 6 right. In what city was the Cuban sandwich invented? Tampa, Florida. And that team is Jamlin. Woo! Yay!
Yeah.
Nice work. The rest of the answers were, which LA restaurant invented the Cobb salad? That would be the Brown Derby. What is the main ingredient in boba pearls? I would have accepted 2 answers, tapioca or cassava. Those both count. The ceviche question, which country is so obsessed with it they created a holiday for it? That would be Peru. And the writer who called Chicago hog butcher for the world is Carl Sandburg.
Yeah, some of you wrote Kafka. That's not true.
Got it so wrong. Everybody, thank you so much for coming out and eating tots and listening to tots and continuing to eat them even after I told you that they were cattle feed. That's brave, and I admire it. Mohamed Elshiki, thank you so much for coming.
So much.
He just put tater tots in his mouth. Great way to end the show. Thank you all so much.